Thank you, Pastor David. Good morning. Peace be with you from the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is a greeting from our persecuted brothers and sisters in China. Every time when I speak, they always ask me to bring their greetings. And many of them even in prison, and yet they are giving praise and thanks to the Lord for you guys, for your prayers, and for continue a revival in His church. Thank the Lord for the Bangor World Mission and for inviting me to be here. And this morning, I'm going to spend most of the time to share what God has been doing in China, even despite of the persecution, and how His church continues to thrive and revive. And at the same time, I want to draw a few lessons, not necessarily new lessons, because really nothing is new under the sun, especially with the Bible already revealed this truth. But I want to kind of bring that these lessons from the particular the perspective from over the part of the body who are suffering for Christ in China. So before you know the preaching, I think I'd better to introduce the preacher myself first. Let's see, yeah. So I'm a made in China product, hopefully a good one. I was born and raised in mainland China under communism and atheism. So from elementary school to graduate school, we were all taught there is no God. Christianity is the opium of the people delivered by the Western imperialist. And then, to make things worse, in 1840, with the Opium War to China. So Christianity and Christian faith had been deliberately despised by the Chinese Communist Party's propaganda. So I have not heard the gospel really until when God, in His sovereignty, or through a tragedy in China 35 years ago, Yeah, 35 years ago, if you still remembered what had happened in the world's largest public square called the Tiananmen Square in the center of Beijing, the capital city of China. By the way, the word Tiananmen in English translation literally means the gate of heavenly peace. So when the students and many millions of Chinese citizens went to the Tiananmen Square and protest, so I was 21 years old, junior students in my college. So I couldn't help sitting there, so I led my students to the Tiananmen Square and occupied part of the square for weeks. We were there witnessing a massive, massive protest, peacefully protest. We didn't do anything violent. And we didn't anticipate our so-called people's government would send the so-called People's Liberation Army with tanks and military machine guns and started a massacre. Thousands of lives were killed that day on June 4th, 1989. So my then girlfriend, Heidi, later on, of course, my wife now, 30 plus years, getting married. And we left the Tiananmen Square 3 days before the massacre. Of course, by God's sovereign grace, out of that massacre, there was a huge, perhaps the largest spiritual revival occurred right after the massacre. And that was the first time I heard the gospel of Jesus Christ through our American missionary teachers who had been praying for every one of the students in the English language department where I was, Heidi and I were studying for 6 years, and I became the first spiritual fruit. So pray patiently when you pray for the missionaries. It takes 6 years for the first spiritual fruit. I was deeply impacted, of course, by the Tiananmen massacre, being treated like a prisoner, being interrogated like a prisoner. But then God, in his sovereign way, through a smuggled biography of a Chinese pastor who came to know the Lord during the Opium War, when he heard the gospel through the Hudson Taylor, the China Inland Mission, that was commissioned and sent through this great country called Great Britain. And in some way, I became kind of a spiritual fruit of the China Inland Mission of Hudson Taylor. When that story came up to me, I was totally convicted, and the Lord showing me that if you are in Christ, you are a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. So through that missionary who led me to pray and accept Christ as my Savior and Lord, the old Bob Fu has gone, the new Bob Fu has come. So I just could not help but sharing the name of Jesus, this Evangelion, the good news. My first mission target, of course, was my then girlfriend, Heidi. We were secretly dating because we were forbidden to date in the Chinese college by the Communist Party. And thankfully, she only persecuted me for 1 week before she also became a follower of Christ. Then my father became my disciple, and then he started a house church in our village, and then the gospel was like a fire, and many students and even professors had come to Christ. Keep on wrong direction. So I was almost about to ask the same question David asked, my brothers and sisters, do you know what I'm going to preach? Nervous, right? Ready to go. So I was married by this pastor, Pastor Alan Yuan from Beijing. He spent over 22 2 years in prison for the gospel. When I was baptized by this Pastor Young, he spent over 16 years imprisonment for the gospel. So, and then I was sent to work in a Communist Party school as my full-time job. So during my daytime, I was teaching English to the Communist Party leaders. In the evening, on the weekend, I was as busy as any full-time missionaries and pastors, sharing the gospel among the university students in the city of Beijing. So when the Wall Street Journal did a profile for me, and they said, oh, you are a God's double agent. So that became the title of my biography, my memoir. If you Google it, God's Double Agent, it was the book title published by Baker Publishing House. And the God that we believe is a humorous God, right? Every month, I receive a full-time faculty paycheck from the Communist Party directly into my bank account as my mission fund. I think that was a better deal, right? Then I don't need to call for the church to make a donation to support my mission work. And the Communist Party did it. For 3 years, they supported my mission work. And as those pastors who baptized me and who married Heidi and I, their experience showed us, and they kept telling us, in China, if you want to be a faithful follower of Jesus Christ, the first theological course you need to take is not actually hermeneutics, it's not apologetics, actually it's called prison theology. Prison theology, or is also called theology of the cross. So 3 years later, after teaching in the Communist Party school in Beijing, Heidi and I were both thrown into a prison in Beijing to start it a little bit, I call it a short kind of intensive course for 2 months in the prison in Beijing to learn our prison theology. Brothers and sisters, that has been happening since the Communist Party took power in 1949. The persecution against God's church had never stopped. During the Cultural Revolution of Chairman Mao from 1966 to 1976, 10 years, China even declared the country is a total atheistic country. Nobody believing in God was even allowed to exist. They were even being sent to re-education through labor camp, imprisonment, life sentence, death sentence. Many were martyred. But at the same time, God has not stopped working. And even in the middle of that most severe persecution during the Cultural Revolution, God has been raising his army. And amazingly and miraculously, before the Communist Party took power, after almost two centuries of foreign missionary work, with many even martyred, including those from the Great Britain, especially during the Boxer Revolution time in 1900. The recorded number of Christians was less than 1 million in 1949. But right after the Cultural Revolution, when many missionaries went to Hong Kong, at the time still under British control, and interviewed many who escaped from Hong Kong, and they found there is a live church in the underground church. Many chose to worship. Of course, they couldn't have any public setting for the Christian faith anymore. They worship in the caves, worship in the riverbanks, on the boats. So they found the church did not diminish. Actually, it has a big revival. At that time, there were already a recorded, estimated, you can never see exactly how many members, of almost 8 million members of an underground dynamic church. You know, from less than 1 million when the Communist Party took power, even after 10 years worse persecution, when no Christian was even allowed to exist in public, to 8 million Christian church live and dynamic. And now, in the past few years, the persecution against God's church in China has reached to another worst milestone since the Cultural Revolution. The emperor, we call him Emperor Xi, since he already removed the term limit from the Communist Party's constitution, already entered into his third five-year term, and his nickname is Chairman Mao Jr. already. And every church building in the government-sanctioned church, they have to install kind of two portraits. It's a little bit not that big, but you can tell. So one photo was Chairman Mao. One photo is Chairman Xi Jinping, or we call him Emperor Xi. What did he want to tell the congregation every Sunday morning? Instead of singing the praising and worshiping of our Creator and Redeemer, Jesus Christ first, all the members of the church are mandated to rise up and sing the Communist Party's revolutionary songs first, their party's national anthem first, to praise the Communist Party first. And Xi Jinping, of course, requires to force the church to raise the national flag in each one of the church. So they want to tell the congregation, want to show that they are in charge. The Communist Party is the Lord of the church. That's what they want to tell. But I want to share with you the two kind of wars that, he launched after he took power. The first war is war against the cross. All of a sudden, the cross was declared as a national security threat. The cross was ordered to be taken down, to be destroyed, to be burned. Thousands of crosses all over China were ordered to be taken down and destroyed. And a wooden or metal cross? What kind of national security threat imposed to a Communist Party with 90 million members with a nuclear weapon? So this is a spiritual warfare, amen? Because we know we're not fighting a war with our flesh and blood. It is against the very symbol of the cross, where Paul said, I preach nothing but Christ and his crucifixion. That is a symbol of the Lordship, that he is the head of the church, not the Communist Party, not Xi Jinping, not any king or queens on this earth can declare they are the head of the church, as the book of Ephesians we just read. Only Christ and Christ alone. That's the one, the first war. The second war is the war against God's people. So all of a sudden, those pastors, those believers, those evangelists, if you refuse even to take down the cross voluntarily in the government-sanctioned church, you would be arrested. And some were even sentenced, as Pastor David just mentioned in this little pocket prayer book, prayer letter, and it has those photos showing. So one of those pastors, pastor and his wife, because they refused to take down the cross from the government-sanctioned church where they're pastors, the husband was sentenced to 14 years imprisonment, and the wife was given 12 years imprisonment. So that is the war against God's people. Many, many are imprisoned, and including China's conscience. The most prominent Christian human rights lawyer, Lawyer Gao, G-A-O, that's his last name, if you search. He spent the past pretty much 20 plus years being imprisoned or disappeared. He was nominated 3 times for the Nobel Peace Prize. And even in this country, I mean, the parliament member, Edward McLean Scott, when he was the vice president of the European Parliament, he was almost killed when he went to Beijing, tried to visit this China's conscience, Lawyer Gao. And yet, this week, we just marked the 7th year of his enforced disappearance. Dead or alive, for 7 years, nobody knows where he's being held. So pray for those who are persecuted, especially in their prison. But one of the lessons we learned is even in their prison, when they are suffering for Christ, they know they need to be prepared, and they are prepared. As 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 says, Beloved, think it is not strange concerning the fear trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. So, as Pastor David just read on the Philippians chapter 1, verse 29, persecution and suffering is actually a privilege. As Paul wrote that epistle from his prison, said it is granted for us, not only a privilege, we are for the sake of Christ, not only it is a privilege for us to believe in Christ, but also a privilege to suffer for him. Of course, Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, also says, anyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus shall be persecuted. Anyone. It doesn't say only the ancient church. It doesn't say only the Chinese church or North Korean church or church in Saudi Arabia. Anyone who lives a godly life or who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. I think that is, in Chinese church, we called a theology of suffering, or sufferology. So if you suffer for Christ's sake, it is a privilege. It is actually producing something that you won't experience in a normal time. It's called an unspeakable joy. That is what Pastor John Hall, on this photo, my good friend, had experienced when he was a Chinese-American pastor. He was called to go back to China about 12 years ago. He went back to China and then traveled to the border between China and Burma and find this minority group called Kachin, because the Burmese military government has been chasing them, bombing them. And he saw these thousands of children, barefooted, no education. And he started within 1 year, with the Chinese house church and American church's help, he started 16 schools. And with the Bible he made the textbook from the Bible. And after 1 year, these 2,000 children in his 16 schools, all of them, each one of the 2,000 children had come to Christ. And praise the Lord. Amen. Only God can do that. And of course, who is unhappy? The devil, right? And it is in a fierce warfare. And he was kidnapped and imprisoned for 7 years. He was sentenced to 7 years imprisonment for doing good deed. So in 2018, just a year or 2 years after he was imprisoned, actually 1 year, he wrote a letter to his mother. He said, "Please send my greetings to all who care about me. Please rejoice for me. Jesus has died on the cross for me. It is my utter joy to be imprisoned for my Lord. This is a reality, not a self-comfort, now self-encouragement." So I still kept that letter. He said, "This is an utter joy to be imprisoned for the Lord." With that spirit, of course, in his prison, he started his prison church, because he was from the United States and he learned English well. So during his first 2 years in his detention center, he was even allowed to have a class in his prison cell where he kind of memorized the English Bible and then spread the gospel that way. That's called the theology of suffering. And then God has revived his church even in his prison. And this pastor, who was a former law school teacher, professor, and then to turn to be a church planter. So he, Pastor Wang Yi, from Early Rain Covenant, kind of Presbyterian church, in the city of Chengdu, the city of Panda. And after he became a preacher and faithfully preaching the word of the Lord and exercising the what God has given to him, and basically spread the gospel like fire in his city and in the neighboring city, and caring about the victims of the earthquake, well, he was arrested after one Sunday when he preached the gospel, John 3:16, For God so loved the world. And based on that text, he was rebuking the persecutor Chinese president Xi Jinping, asking him to stop the persecution and offering the gospel of Jesus Christ to him. And that's called the subversion of state power. He was sentenced to 9 years imprisonment. He's still in prison today. And his wife and their 8-year-old boys, Joshua, and over 200-300 members of his congregation were all arrested. And for that, yeah, he is still serving his 9 years imprisonment. But Pastor Wang Yi, this is what he said. He said, "Separate me from my wife and children, ruin my reputation, destroy my life and my family. The authorities are capable of doing all of these things." It's the Communist Party. Is now accusing him as a cult. However, he said, "No one in this world can force me to renounce my faith. And no one can make me change my life. And no one can raise me from the dead." That's Pastor Wang Yi. So I was told last year alone in his prison, this is his fourth year in prison, and he has over 1,000 prayer items in his prison cell, and including his prayer to the U.S., to the U.K., to the free world, because he has sensed the so-called free world may not that free anymore very soon. I think he's asking us to kind of spread what the Lord has prepared, this, you know, prepared for the suffering, for the persecution, for the trials, just like what had happened during the COVID time, right? These little mayors, little kind of a council, city council, all of a sudden acted like little emperors, tried to order and restrict not only how we live, but also what to believe and how we believe. Instead of allowing the church to continue to worship our Lord, they forbid or shut down the churches, but allow the gambling places are open, allow Walmart open. Why not the church? So I think in the West, we already had experienced, I think we have passed the active phase of disinformation, active phase of discrimination against Christian time. We may have already entered into a passive phase of persecution in the so-called free world. I think these are the two lessons I want to share with you. Be prepared for the trial, and after all, to suffer for Christ is a privilege, and also to continue to do good for the Lord, even in the middle of suffering and persecution. And are you prepared? Are you ready to suffer for Christ, to experience that unspeakable joy? May God continue to bless all of you as you are walking in Christ for the days and months ahead. May God continue to bless the Great Britain and the free world. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.